Such a sweet sense of his presence here this morning, amen. Just as we're celebrating all that God's doing and moving in and through us. And I just want to take just a few moments. I know we've kind of, you know, had a big worship, refreshing, refilling, celebration type of morning for what God's doing. But more than that, I want to kind of just further a point with you this morning. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, we've been in this series of Just the Cross, It's Enough. Have you been getting anything out of these last few weeks together? Beginning to realize that really, really coming to grips, if you will, of knowing that the cross is so much more than we give it credit for. Oftentimes we compartmentalize the cross into these check boxes of forgiveness and salvation. It's eternity. It's forever in heaven. And those things are great. They're powerful. And we live most of our lives with an understanding that the cross has the ability to forgive and the cross has the ability to save our soul from going to hell, but rather spending eternity in heaven. But realizing that it's so much more than that, because if it was just about eternity in heaven, then it wouldn't give us any benefit until we died. Why would something so earth-shattering, why would something so eternity-shifting only have an effect after I leave this earth? There's something so much more to the cross. Paul would write, we would look at this over the last few weeks in 1 Corinthians 1:18, he would say, the message of the cross is foolishness. Everybody say foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Paul would write here in the beginning of his letter to the church in Corinth saying, listen, you think you understand the cross, but actually you don't. There's so much more than even you and I, as Christ followers, can wrap our brain around. We can't begin to understand the depth, the meaning of the cross. It has so much more than to forgive. It's so much more than life insurance for when we die. But there's so much more to the power of the cross. You know, I think it's interesting that he would say to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He doesn't say the cross to us who are being saved represents the power of God. See, Paul says it's not just a symbol. It actually is the power. The cross, what took place on the cross, that is the power of God. There's power in the cross, the power to save us, the power to heal us, the power to give, the power to love, the power to restore. Come on, is anybody with me this morning? The power to renew, the power to resurrect. Because truth be told, the cross doesn't inform us, it transforms us. It is not just a thing that we learn about and get in it, but there's a deeper revelation and there's something transformative that begins to happen. It doesn't just heal us in the natural, it heals every area of our lives. And realizing that the cross would show us, it would represent, it would look like, it would reveal to us that just like Jesus, we're all gonna endure a cross. Life's gonna kill us. Life's gonna wound us. And a lot of times when we're killed or when we're wounded, whether we've been looking at betrayal and abandonment and things on those lines, but truth be told, there are wounds that are in our lives that there's an emptiness at times in our lives that aren't necessarily always accumulated by a betrayal or by an abandonment. But there's things in our lives that only the cross can make us whole again. Only the cross can look at it, because we've confused this message of get up and resurrect. We talked about this last week, how you can't resurrect yourself. What's preached today is this get up mentality. And we've assumed that get up means that we're resurrected, but I can be breathing and still bleeding. So a lot of us are walking around and we're wounded and life has taken its best shot, and we've confused the fact that there's still breath in our lungs with that we've been resurrected. When really we've just learned to get up, to dust off our knees and dust off our shoulders, and don't realize the blood trail that we're leaving everywhere. See, there's so much more power in the cross than just forgiveness and just eternity. And those things are powerful, and I don't want to make light of them, but I'm telling you, the more ways that we gain access to the revelation of what the cross has the ability to do, the more transformation is accessible to us, the more freedom is accessible to us, the more healing is accessible to us. Can anybody stand to use a little more freedom and healing in their life? There's so much more to the depth of the cross. Jesus couldn't resurrect himself. You and I can't. We looked at this and we shared about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11 would say, the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies. And by the same Spirit that is living within you. So the only way that we can be resurrected, the only way that we can be made whole is only through the filling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the only thing that could resurrect Jesus, and it's the only thing that can resurrect us by the filling of his Spirit. Has the ability to heal, has the ability to transform. But oftentimes we want resurrection without death. But there is no resurrection power if at first you don't die. So a lot of us were like, man, I want this resurrection power, but I'm not willing to die. I'm not willing to let these things in my life die. And we hold on to these wounds at times, and we build an identity around them, and we adjust our lives around them. And really, friend, you can't have resurrection power if at first you don't die. It's this balance, right? This balance that we must have of realizing the only way to get resurrection is first we must die. So can you just hurry up and die already? This is something that God wants to renew, bring back to its original design, original creation. But at first you must empty yourself. You must die. We can't have new life without losing our first one. I was thinking about this. You know, you can't get a new heart without first dying. You know, when somebody goes in for a heart transplant, there is a moment where they are dead on the table. And the only way that they're going to receive this new life is at first they have their old life removed, that old hurt removed, that old suffering removed, that old relationship removed, that old abuse removed. It's not until that happens, and there's a moment of death before life can ever be put back on the inside of them. And I don't know if you've ever met somebody. Maybe you've had a loved one, a family member who has been through something as drastic, as invasive as a heart transplant. Whether they're a Christian or not, all of them have this kind of common thread that they say, like, I just feel this new life again. I can't really explain it. Like, it's my body, feel like, I mean, I know I got a new heart, don't get me wrong, but I didn't think it would feel this different. So there's no resurrection. There's no life without first death. What are the things that we need to die to? What's the death that we need to allow to happen in our life? It's kind of the stuff that you don't normally hear in church, right? It's like, with long life, I will satisfy you. And that is great. But a lot of us are wanting this resurrected life without the first willingness to die. Jesus would say, if you want to experience my power, you got to first die. Paul is fascinating. I was studying this week. Paul, all throughout the New Testament, right? Paul was this crazy guy who was like, you know, imitate me as I imitate Christ, right? Because he was this guy, radical transformation, all these things that happened through his life. But when I began to read through, so about two-thirds of the New Testament is written by the Apostle Paul. And as I'm reading through all of these writings that he's doing in Philippians and Corinthians and Galatians and all the other ends in the Bible, and he keeps talking about this whole death thing. Like, Paul seems to be infatuated with death. He's like constantly saying, like, it's no longer I who live but Christ. I want to share in death. I want to die. I want to share in his suffering so that I can have resurrection. He would say, Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. They'll throw it on the screen for me. It says, I want to know Christ. This is Paul writing. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. And I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul is so fixated on the new creation. He's so fixated on the resurrection. He's so fixated on wholeness that he's going, I have to die. Like, if that's what it took for Jesus, that's what it'll take for me. Paul is like, it's weird. He's like saying, I want to die. And he's not talking obviously in a physical sense. He's not, but he's talking in a metaphorical sense. I want to die because I want this resurrection power. It's the whole thing that we build our faith on. We were all longing and desiring for Jesus to come out of that grave. And so we saw it and we saw all eternity shifted. And so if that's what it takes, please. So Paul's like, take it. What is it that needs to die? He says, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. So I began to wonder, why does Paul want to die so bad? What? Why is he so infatuated? He's got this revelation of resurrection power, and he's boiled it down to the only way I can be resurrected is at first I have to die. So going back to what we've been discussing, what we've been talking about over the last few weeks about betrayal in our lives and abandonment in our lives and wounds in our lives that happen, that life gives us. Paul almost is, he's almost saying like, you know what? A dead person can't feel anything. So if I allow this to die, if I give up this area of my life and surrender it so that Christ can resurrect it, then I won't be able to feel the hurt anymore. I won't be able to feel the pain anymore if I just die first. So I started thinking about this. I was praying about this last night. And I thought to myself, with the suicide epidemic that we seem to be in, just talking to a guy before a service, and he said he had three people that he knows that have taken their own life in the last 2 weeks. I just sat down this week with a gentleman who began to tell me about a suicide attempt of himself and of a family member. With the suicide epidemic that we live in, where a lot of us in this room have been touched by a friend or a family member who've either taken their own life or attempted to, what is the fundamental reason for someone wanting to take their own life? They don't want to feel the pain anymore. Whatever it is that they're suffering from, the depression, the rejection, whatever the root cause is, the abuse, whatever it is, they're going, if I could just die, I won't feel this pain anymore. So it seems as though Paul is talking about, listen, I've got to let this thing, this hurt and this pain, I've got to allow myself to die in this area so that life can be breathed back into me. See, I believe there's this thing that's inside of us that when we're attacked and when we're wounded and when life hurts us, you see, the devil, what he's tried to do is say, well, in order to not feel this pain anymore, you've got to die. Well, he's got a little bit of truth to it. You got to let that part of you die. You got to put that trust in who Jesus is. You got to surrender that to the cross so that he can breathe life back into it. Are you with me this morning? So Paul's saying, listen, now, these things in my life, I want to experience resurrection. I want to experience this. So what is it that we're taking and holding on to that he is longing for us to give? Paul wanted to experience the renewal of the resurrection. Jesus would say it plainly all throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a variation of this phrase. We spent a whole series recently talking about this in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. You must take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll gain it. So he's saying these things, these areas that you've got to allow to die, because there is no resurrection without first death. So I've got to release. I've got to die to the pain. I've got to allow myself to die to the trauma, to the habit, to the insecurity. I've got to allow it to be crucified. I've got to allow it to die so that Christ can resurrect it. The power of the resurrection can take place. So we looked at this verse last week, but I want to look at it in a different light. Luke 23, verse 46 would be Jesus' dying words on the cross, where he would say this, then Jesus with a loud voice said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. And so what this actually shows us is that they didn't kill Jesus, he gave up his life. They didn't kill Jesus, He actually gave himself up. He said, I'm allowing myself to die because I know the resurrection that sits on the other side. This thing about allowing ourselves to die in these hearts. And then he says, into your hands, I commit my spirit. So what is it that you need to die to? What is the thing in your life that you're holding on to, that you're bleeding from, you're wounded of? What's the thing that you need to die to? What's the area of your life? He says, into your hands, I commit my spirit. What's the area of your life that you need to offer into his hands? What is it that you need to bring back to the cross? Maybe it's Father, into your hands, I commit my marriage. Because I know that the life that you have for me can only come through the cross. Into your hands, God, into your hands, God, I commit my finance, the things that I seek identity in and feel like I can't live without. God, I bring that to the cross. You know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to die to this pain. This pain that I feel. And I'm going to bring that to the cross. God, I'm going to allow. I'm going to take my pride. And today, God, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to my pride. These are the things that I'm going to die to, this anxiety. Today, God, I'm not going to bleed anymore. I'm just going to die. I'm going to allow this to die so that I can be resurrected, God. Would you take my family into your hands, God? I commit my family. God, all of these things, God, into your hands, I commit my, and I die to my anger. You know what, God? These are all the things that other people know. But into your hands, some of you in this room may be saying, the outsiders can see this, but what people don't really know is that what I need to finally die to is pornography. No longer will this be a thing that cripples us in this room. So we're not just putting the things that people can see on the outside, but what about these things that I struggle with, the addiction that I show, God, finally, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to this. So I have to be resurrected. I'm going to keep bringing thing after thing, relationship after relationship, hidden sin after hidden sin, addiction after addiction, pain after pain, anxiety after anxiety. I'm going to bring that to the cross. So there's things that I've got to die to. There's things that I've got to place into his hands. Because there's no resurrection. There's no resurrection without death. So very simply this morning, my question to you is this: what do you need to die to? And what do you need to give up? What do you need to place into his hands? Jesus said, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Realizing that he had to lay himself down before he could ever be resurrected.